We just thank you for the great love you've poured out upon us, O Lord. We thank you that you are leading us home. We just pray that your Holy Spirit continues to guide us, O Lord, and that our ears are open to your leading. We pray for greater understanding, O Lord, for we just put our trust and our hope in you, for you alone can save us, O Lord. You alone are our strength and our salvation. For you alone we put our trust. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life and lifting us anew. And thank you for new season, Heavenly Father. We just pray you equip us for the seasons ahead. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Since the beginning of this new year, we have been looking at living as new creations. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. Amen. From Romans 6. And today we are continuing to look at this idea of new creations, that we are in Christ. Now this has been a bit of a challenge for me, for I fail to see the newness of Christ in me. I have tended to look and think through the eyes and mind of the flesh, rather than look and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But as I've been poring through the scriptures and hearing from the Holy Spirit through pastors Joe and Andy, I'm seeing the truth of the matter, that we are new creations. This is not to say that I haven't read or heard this before, but I think I'm like so many, and we try to overcomplicate the matter, which I call religion. I think it's human nature. We like to delve into the deep, but quite often the answer is right there on the surface. We lift up the deep thinkers, but neglect the wisdom of a little child. Yeah. And that is, I believe, the biggest problem with the scripture, that it's too simple. Not that I'm saying that there's any problems with the holy text of our God, but we, in our perceived wisdom, can overcomplicate the matter. And let me share with you what I mean. Now I hope you're all well aware of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And here are a few more that speak of this simple message. They replied, "We want to perform God's work too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." From John 6. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. From 1 John 3:23. And again, 1 John 4:9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. Another. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. From Romans 5. Or we could look at the great chapter of faith in Hebrews 11 that outlines the great heroes of faith from the Old Testament who believed what our Lord God had promised. Hebrews 11, 1-3. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So you can see how simple the message it is. Believe. Believe in the promise of God, the promise that we are a new creation through his Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice. And have faith in that newness that we are. If he can bring forth the universe out of nothing, just think what he can do for you and I. But you may say, as I did discovering this simple truth, didn't the demons believe? And yes, they do. For James tells us, in James 2:19, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. And from Matthew 8, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They lived in a cemetery and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" So these demons clearly believe who Jesus says he is and know of his power. But they are not saved, so there must be a little more to this simple idea of believing. Jude 6 tells us, "And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged." So we can see that believing is not quite enough, for we also need to make Jesus the Lord of our life, the authority of all we do, and be obedient to his word. Amen. And this in itself is impossible for we mere mortals to do. This is where we need to take hold of the new creation life given to us by Jesus through his Holy Spirit, to change these rebellious souls into submissive hearts. David understood this concept long before the cross, when he penned that great repentant prayer found in Psalm 51. Here are just a few snippets from that psalm. "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." David understood the need for newness. He knew he needed a heart cleansed from his unrighteous acts and a Holy Spirit that would lead him to new living, as do we. And we have it too, if we have made Jesus the Lord and authority of our lives. But it's not enough to just accept this once and then forget all about it. No, it's something that needs to be done on a daily basis. The manna that fell from heaven was needed to be gathered on a day-to-day basis, except, of course, on the Sabbath, which fed the Israelites during the walk through the wilderness. So too must the bread of life be. We need to feed on him day by day. Then he said to the crowd, Jesus speaking, "If any of you wants to follow me, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross daily and follow me. found in Luke 9:23. Today, we have a bit of an idea of what Jesus was talking about. But I wonder what those who heard this message made of it. Today, when we speak of the cross, it's always in the singular. But there were many crosses which brought pain and suffering, which I think they were all aware of at that time. They knew that the cross was an instrument of torture, a place of death. So this message must have been hard to understand and receive. And today it's still the same. Giving up one's life for another is not that easy. But that's what Jesus calls us to do. Give up our selfish lives and live for him. We speak of the cross today in the singular because there was only one who overcame the power of sin at the cross. But the cross again will become crosses in the kingdom to come because of the many who had heard the call and followed in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus continues, "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your lives for my sake, you will save it." Now that's not to say that we can save our own lives, for he alone can save, and nor can we bear our cross on our own. Jesus needed help to lug that heavy burden up to Calvary in his flesh, and he knows that we need help too to carry our burdens through this world. That is why he has imparted his Holy Spirit upon us, and that is why we need it daily. That is why he has given us church community to bear with one another the mission we are on. But we are so much like those with Alzheimer's disease. We can recall what happened years ago, but forget what we have done 5 minutes ago, or what we have come into the room for. So as we rise to each new day God gives us, don't reflect on what has long passed, but remember that you are a new creation given a new day. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. What a great promise we have. That is, so commit each day to follow Jesus so that the will of the Father may be done through us in his strength. Forget what your past is telling you. Satan loves to remind us. But meditate on what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. It's the renewing of your mind. Yes, the mind can be renewed just by the way we think. The body really is a remarkable piece of engineering. It is renewing itself all the time, and we don't even need to do anything. When we stumble and fall, cut and grazing the flesh, something goes on in this wonderful system where blood clotting agents are sent to the affected area and start repairing that area. But does that mean we do nothing from the outside? No, at the very least, we will clean and dress that wound. This is applied to prevent affection, outside agents, from entering our wonderful system. And so it is with the Spirit. When we stumble and sin, we need to address the offence and apply the Christian's bar of soap, found in 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And this is needed for the same reason. Sin is giving outside agents access, so they need to be cleansed, removed, to prevent the hardening of the heart. So as you rise on each new day, and put on the full armour of God, which I hope you do, for we are in warfare. And as your outer garment, wear the righteous garments given to us at the cross. Reading from Zechariah 3. Then the angel showed me Yeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, the accuser, Satan. There was at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Yeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Yeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angels. So the angels said to the others standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turned him to Yeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes. Then I said, they also place a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. Now, please don't take this as doctrine, but I see this as Yeshua, some translations say Joshua, as being Jesus, which is only the Greek equivalent for the same name. He is there as the high priest, standing in filthy clothes, the clothes of sin. Not his own clothes, but our filthy rags. He is then dressed in fine new clothes, in linen of pure white, in garments fit for his priestly position, and is now in a position to have us clothed in garments fit for our ministries he has for us. So come before him each and every new day, thanking him for a new day and his garments of righteousness, so that we will be better equipped to go through the day doing the will of the Father, which is simply to love on those he puts in our path. Now this will come easily for some and a little harder for others. For some love all things new, while others, myself included, resist change. You only need to look into my wardrobe. You have those who will queue up overnight just to get the latest gadget or technology. They can't wait to get the newest fashion for the new season, to be the first seen in those killer new shoes. And then you have the likes of me, who know that those clothes brought back in the 80s will make a comeback one day. You have those who love the coming of the new seasons. They look forward to those long summer days. Then they will embrace the changing colours of the autumn before wanting to see the transformation of the landscape with winter's first snowfall, before the renewing by the coming of the new growth of the new spring season. And then we have those who'd just be happy if the seasons were all summer, or that winter lasted forever. But as we know, nothing is new forever. Technology is ever changing. It could send you crazy and or broke just trying to keep up. And those new shoes you have just worn in are now so last season. And the summers come and go, and we find that the year is quickly slipping by. And so too it is with our new garments. We walk through this world collecting the dust and filth that the world throws at us. They become bloodied and torn as we do battle. And it is because of this that we need to renew them daily. We need that daily time with the one who clothes us in prayer, in relationship. Now, relationship is a two-way street of communication, speaking and listening. If we're doing all the talking, we will never get to know the other. So it is with prayer. The talking is the easy bit, But Jesus has known us long before we were born. But how well do we know him? How well do we listen to his voice? How well do we push aside the cacophony of noise and tune in to the voice of Jesus? It is a challenge and one that needs to be worked at. And no, I'm not fully there yet. But when we put on this new garment, it draws us nearer to him. For to be dressed in these new clothes, we need to be in the same proximity as he is, growing in his grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. Reading and praying, listening for greater understanding, for we are admonished to know the word, so as not to be led astray by false teachers. For how will we know if we are being falsely taught if we don't have a firm understanding of the scriptures? Though this is not enough, for the Pharisees knew and understood scripture better than anyone else in those days, but they still managed to miss it. For they had their own agenda in mind, i.e. a great Israeli kingdom established. And we can fall into the same trap, looking to Jesus to do our bidding here on earth, instead of doing his will while we are here. I certainly don't understand all the whys and what fors of this life, but I know that I just need to learn and to trust that God has it all under control. Yes, Satan is at work, but God is in control. I have heard, just over the last few weeks, how God is using the death and destruction in Syria to bring Muslims to Jesus, and how he has taken the immigration problems in Sweden and turning it into something good by changing the hearts of Muslims there, or how he is waking up the church in Canada and hopefully elsewhere by the movement of the Alphabet people. No, we may not understand all that's going on in this world or in your own lives, but we just need to continue to put our hope and our trust in the Lord, knowing that he will finish that work started long ago. Yes, he is firmly in control, but he does so using everyday people, simple people like little shepherd boys, like hard fishermen, hated tax collectors, maidens and mothers. Yes, just everyday people like you and I. The only thing they had in common was they knew who the Lord is and made themselves available for service for him. We here are moving into a new season. The vision remains the same, the vision given to the disciples by Jesus way back in Acts, to go and make disciples in Oberon, Taranar, Black Springs, Shooter's Hill and beyond. But before he sent the original disciples, he clothed them with the Holy Spirit, the same garment he has for us when we accept and make him the Lord of our lives. But to be effective in our mission, we all need to be on the same page. We all need to have our oars in the water, pulling at the same time and in the same direction. Otherwise, we are just going around in circles. We need to be on board with the one calling the tune. Jesus is the one calling the tune, as well as the one we are rowing towards. But he has gifted us with Pastor Joe to steer us in that direction. So we need to hold her up in prayer, for we know that opposition will come. And we need to be praying for each other, for we know it is far too great a task for one person. I believe we are heading into a new season, a season of harvest. But while we are harvesting one field, we should also be sowing in another for the seasons to come. From 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 21. So, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Yes, we are new creations. We are clothed in new apparel, garments given so that we are not looking good, keeping up with the latest fashions, but priestly vestments to show that we are Christ's ambassadors, with a job of leading those around us to reconciliation and discipleship, so that they may in turn be clothed in the garments of the King. The season is new, our garments are new, but the message is old as time itself. Believe. Believe in the one who never changes, in the one whose love goes on forever, in the one who sacrificed his life for ours. Yes, believe in Jesus. This message is simple, so don't overcomplicate it. It's the application that needs your attention. So thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for giving us this new creation, these new clothes, O Lord. We just pray that as we go out through the week, that you would remind us that we are new in you, and that you would equip us for all that you have us do, O Lord. We pray for those you put in our paths, so that we can just love on them and share your great word, your Holy Spirit with them, O Lord. Well, we just thank you for the visions you have for this new church, O Lord. We look forward to the season coming, Heavenly Father, and we just pray for the wonderful harvest, O Lord. We pray when the churches in this town are full, O Lord, your name is lifted high, O Lord. We just pray that the schools, the doors are opened so that your name can be entered, O Lord. Your spirit will be filled, O Lord. We pray that the churches will be filled with the young ones, Heavenly Father. There'll be a new birth, O Lord, from the young to the teenagers, Lord. We just pray them in into your presence, Heavenly Father, into your church and into the new garments you have for them too, Heavenly Father. Well, we just thank you for this awful, this awesome day, Heavenly Father, and just thank you that you are our God. So thank you, one and all. Amen. Thank you, Joe.
Just think about pink elephants, okay? Anyone got a nice image of a pink elephant? Might look like that. Isn't he cute? Come on. Might look like that, might look like something different, but it's a pink elephant, right? Think of, now, I want you to stop thinking about pink elephants. Don't think about pink elephants anymore, okay? Stop thinking about pink elephants. I'm not thinking about a pink elephant. I am not thinking about, I am not going to eat that cream cake. Oh, sorry. Not thinking about pink elephants, right? How do you, that's hard work. But how about we now think about green giraffes? We've got somebody to help you. Isn't he cute? Come on. Okay, so think about green giraffes. He's a little baby green giraffe, and that's a cute, funny green giraffe. And so how many people noticed that while we were trying, keep thinking about green giraffes, while we were thinking, trying not to think about pink elephants, we're still thinking about pink elephants. But when we started looking at green giraffes, is anyone still thinking about pink elephants? No, we're now thinking about green giraffes. So it's really simple. It's the simple tool of, if I'm just going, okay, don't think like that, don't think like that. I'm not going to think like that anymore. I'm not going to think like, I don't want to think like that. That's just willpower. Cast your mind on other things. Give yourself something else to think about. And how do we do this? Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He doesn't expect us to use willpower to follow him. If we just need to, you know, acknowledge him in everything we do, he will guide and direct our paths. And it's not by our might or by our power, it's by his spirit, says the Lord. And that's why Philippians 4:8 tells us, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So I would suggest that we can go home and write down, here's a bit of homework for you, right? Write down some things that you know are true and honourable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent, anything praiseworthy. Think about the wonderful things that God has done in your life. Think about the wonderful blessings. Yes, there's stuff going on. We live in a fallen world. There will always be negative stuff to focus on, but that's not to be. He says, whatever is honourable, true, beautiful, lovely, praiseworthy, dwell on these things. So when the pink elephants come, you grab your list of green giraffes, right? Grab your list of whatever is honourable. You know, write down those scriptures that really, really speak to you. Write down the scriptures. I'll give them to you from last week if you want. You know, that talks about who we are as new creations in Christ. And when those, you know, voices of condemnation or those negative voices come, you get out your list, you get out your word, you know, and you just start, you know, start declaring the word of God. Just, you know, I know very, very quickly, I used to always rent a place, and I was a sole parent and working for a church, so on a really, really low income, and, you know, single income family and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had no idea how I was going to be able to buy a place, right? And that's not the story. The whole thing is, but I knew what the Word of God said, and it said, okay, that we are head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, above only and not beneath. I knew that scripture. And so I remember I would pray several times every day. I say, God, your word says that we are the head and not the tail. We're the lender and not the borrower. We're above only and not beneath. I don't know how renting actually fits into that. And I don't know how I'm going to get, but you do. And so I would just declare every day, the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, above only and not beneath. God, you know, just hand it over to him. And, you know, and so he did. He made an absolutely miraculous way for me to actually, and that's a whole funny story in itself. But you know what? It's never the way we think it's going to be. And so we don't have to, it's not by might, not our might, not by power, not all that. By his spirit, we declare his word and his truth in everything that we do. And he does. He does make a way and he guides and directs our paths. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good. Now, it's late. I'm sorry. I went over time today. But so we won't. I was going to finish with a really rousing praise the name of the Lord our God Actually, we are. We're going to do that. But if you need to go, then you are released to go because we are over time. But if you would like to stay and share morning tea with us, then we'd love to do that too. So we'll go through, praise the name of the Lord our God because he is worthy to be praised. And then we'll go out and have morning tea together and have a fantastic week, everyone.